Welcome to Zikhu Daf Si Mani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sefer Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the source that it's a mitzvah on a person to calculate the tekufos and the mazalos, the progression of the seasons and the position of the constellations, is from the pasuk Ushmartim Vasisim Kihi Chachmaschem Uvinaschem Lenei'amim. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. Now, what wisdom and discernment are there in the eyes of the nations? It's the calculation of the tekufos and the mazalos. Rashi explains that one can know for certain if someone truly has wisdom in these areas, because it can be seen if he's able to correctly predict weather patterns, which are based on the movement of the sun and the constellations. Point number two, this Machlokes Tanaim brought in a brice regarding the trapping of the chila zone and squeezing with one's hands to extract the blood in order to produce the blue dye. Rav Yehuda holds that he's liable for the trapping and he's liable for the squeezing as well, since Petzia B'Kladisha, squeezing, is a tolda of threshing. The Rabban hold that he's only liable for trapping, since Petzia L'B'Kladisha, squeezing, is not a tolda of threshing. And Rav explains that according to the Rabbanan, threshing only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground, in this case, not fish. And point number three, the next Mishnah states another general rule, kol acher, that whatever is fit to store, and people usually store in a certain quantity, meaning an amount fitting to be stored, and one carried it out on Shabbos, one's liable chatas for it. The Mishnah continues that whatever is not fit to store, since it's not used by people, or it's used by people, but it's not a quantity that people store away for later use, then only a person who stored it away would be liable chatas for carrying it out on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person took a liking to the object and stored it away. Others who carried out the same item would be exempt, since the majority of people do not consider it or its size significant enough. All right, so let's review. Point number one. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the source that it's a mitzvah on a person to calculate the tekufos and the mazalos, the progression of the seasons and the position of the constellations, is from the pasuk, Rishmartim Vasisim Kihi Chachmaschem Uvinaschem Lenei'amim. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. Now, what wisdom and discernment are there in the eyes of the nations? It's the calculation of the tekufos and the mazalos. Rashi explains that one can know for certain if someone truly has wisdom in these areas, because it can be seen if he's able to correctly predict weather patterns, which are based upon the movement of the sun and constellations. Point number two, this Machlokes Tanaim brought in a brisa regarding the trapping of the chila zone and squeezing with one's hands to extract the blood in order to produce blue dye. Rav Yehuda holds that he's liable for the trapping and he's liable for the squeezing as well, since Petzia B'Kladisha, squeezing, is a tolda of threshing. The Rabbanan hold that he's only liable for trapping, since Petzia L'B'Kladisha, squeezing, is not a tolda of threshing. Rav explains, according to the Rabbanan, threshing only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. And point number three, the next Mishnah states another general rule, klal acher, that whatever is fit to store, and people usually store it in a certain quantity, meaning an amount fitting to be stored, and one carried it out on Shabbos, one is liable chatas for it. The Mishnah continues that whatever is not fit to store, since it's not used by people, or it's used by people, but it is not a quantity that people store away for later use, then only a person who stored it away would be liable chatas for carrying it out on Shabbos. And Rashi explains that the person took a liking to the object and stored it away. Others who carried out the same item would be exempt, since the majority of people do not consider it or its size significant enough. All right, so now we go to our sim for Ayin Hey, and this was a tough one. We had ah, like a shriek. We had someone suggest aha, like a magician going aha. We also had Albert Einstein going aha, like the light bulb going off. But we're going to go with a suggestion that came from two people. We have Gedalia Weiss, the son of Mordechai Weiss, suggested the following, as well as David Zev Glickman suggested both of them. They both suggested Ayin Hey is Am Ha'aretz. So Rosh HaTevo is for Am Ha'aretz. So that's going to be our sim for Ayin Hey. So thank you, Gedalia. And David Zev for Am Ha'aretz for Ayin Hey. So here goes. The Am Ha'aretz tried to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chila zone and looking at its blue dye, proudly storing away its broken shell fragments that everyone else considered worthless. Once again, in slow motion. The Am Ha'aretz, that means we're on Daf Ayin Hey. The Am Ha'aretz tried to predict weather pattern, which reminds us it was said in the name of Yochanan that the source for that is a mitzvah on a person to calculate the tekufos and mazalos, the progression of the seasons and the position of the constellations, is from the pasuk. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it's your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. What wisdom and discernment are there in the eyes of the nations? It's the calculation of the tekufos and mazalos. And Rashi explains that one can know for certain if someone truly has wisdom in these areas, because it can be seen if he's able to correctly predict weather patterns, which are based upon the movement of the sun and constellations. I just want to be clear that before she can explain what it says, it's a mitzvah on a person to calculate the tekufas and mazalos. It's for someone who understands the science. So the Amaards try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at its blue dye, which reminds us there's a malchokas anayim brought in a brice regarding the trapping of a chilazon and squeezing it with one's hands to extract the blood in order to produce blue dye. Rav Yehuda holds that he's liable for the trapping and he's liable for the squeezing as well, since patsia b'kol disha, squeezing, is a tolda of threshing. The Rabbanan hold he's only liable for the trapping, since patsia l'b'kol disha, squeezing, is not a tolda of threshing. And Rav explains that according to the Rabbanan, threshing only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. So the Amaards try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at its blue dye, proudly storing away its broken shell fragments that everyone else considered worthless. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states another general rule, klal acher, that whatever is fit to store, and people usually store it in such a quantity, meaning an amount fitting to be stored, and one carried it on Shabbos, one is liable chatas for it. The Mishnah continues that whatever is not fit to store, since it's not used by people, or it's used by people, but it's not a quantity people store away for later use, then only a person who stored it away would be liable chatas for carrying it out on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person took a liking to the object and stored it away. Others who carried out the same item would be exempt, since the majority of people do not consider it or its size significant enough. So once again, the Amaards try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at its blue dye, proudly storing away its broken shell fragments that everyone else considered worthless. All right, so now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Ayin Aleph. So the symbol for Ayin Aleph is a donkey going E-R. So here goes. The donkey going E-R, E-R, that means we're on Daf Ayin Aleph. The donkey going E-R was drawing along a wagon full of reaped and ground produce the size of a fig, which reminds us, if one reaped and ground produce the size of a dried fig, a grogeris, b'shogeg, with regards to Shabbos, but b'mezid with regard to the malachas, and then he did it again, but this time b'mezid with regard to Shabbos, and b'shogeg with regard to the malachas, if it became known to him that the reaping he did b'mezid with regard to Shabbos, and b'shogeg with regard to the malachas, and he set aside a chatas to atone for that reaping, Rava says it also atones for the first reaping, even though the first reaping was done b'shogeg with regards to Shabbos. He holds it's like two acts of eating chalav during the same lapse of awareness. He then uses the principle of goreris, of drawing along, to enable the chatas to atone for the first act of grinding, since it was done with the reaping in the same lapse of awareness of Shabbos. Abai takes this a step further and says the principle of goreris can be used a second time and enable the first act of grinding to now draw along the second act of grinding, so that it too is atoned for with the same single chatas. So the donkey going E-R was drawing along a wagon full of reaped and ground produce the size of a fig, when it bumped into its owner, who just discovered he had eaten multiple prohibitions, which reminds us, a Mishnah from Crasus was brought that taught a chumrah of multiple prohibitions over multiple transgressions. If one ate one piece of chalav and then another in one lapse of awareness, he's only liable one chatas. But if he consumed chalav, blood, noser, and pigo in one lapse, he's liable for each one. The same Mishnah also taught a chumrah of multiple transgressions over multiple prohibitions. If one eats two half kazesim from the same prohibited food, he's liable for a chatas, their mitzvah. Whereas if he ate them from two different prohibitions, he's not liable. So the donkey going E-R was drawing along a wagon full of reaped and ground produce the size of a fig, when it bumped into its owner, who had just discovered he had eaten multiple prohibitions in two different times. Which reminds us, if one ate two kazesim of chalav in one lapse of awareness, but discover them at two different times, Riochan says he's liable to bring two chatas offerings based on the pasuk al chataso vehevi. For his sin, he shall bring an offering, indicating that he's liable to bring a chatas for each transgression. Reish Lakish says he's only liable for one chatas based on the pasuk machataso benislach lo, from his sin, and it will be forgiven for him, indicating that even if the chatas was brought for some of his sins, he is totally forgiven. Dafine base. So the simprime base is thick slabs of birthday cakes. Here goes. The person cutting five thick slabs of birthday cake, thick slabs of birthday cake, that means we're on dafine base. The person cutting five thick slabs of birthday cake at the Shifcha Charufa's birthday party felt guilty, which reminds us, Ula said that according to Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that an Ashem Vadai does not require prior awareness of the violation to be effective, if one has relations with a Shifcha Charufa, betrothed slave woman, five times b'shogeg, he's only liable for one ashem, even if the violations were committed during different lapses of awareness. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Tarfon, since an ashem vadai does not require prior awareness, it's clear that awareness is not a significant factor. Therefore, even when the transgressor has awareness, it's as if he committed all five of the transgressions in the same lab, since it's only libor for one ashem. So the person cutting 5 thick slabs of birthday cake at the Shifcha Charufa's birthday party felt guilty when he dropped the cake knife and accidentally pulled up a turnip instead. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the case of one who intended to lift something that was detached from the ground, such as a knife that had dropped in the vegetable patch, but accidentally cut something that was attached, such as a vegetable. He's not liable to bring a chatas. Rashi explains that he's called a misasig, one who is preoccupied with doing something else. This is learned from the pasuk asher chata ba, that he sinned in it. The extra word ba in it teaches that one is only obligated to bring a chatas if he had awareness of doing the act that would make him liable. So the person cutting 5 thick slabs of birthday cake at the Shifcha Charufa's birthday party felt guilty when he dropped the cake knife and accidentally pulled up a turnip instead and then cut another one instead of the cake. Which reminds us, there's a machlokes amoraim in the case of one who intended to cut something that was detached from the ground but accidentally cut something that was attached to the ground. Rava says he's exempt from bringing a chatas because he didn't intend to do a prohibited act of cutting. He's therefore still in the category of a misasik. Abai says he's liable to bring a chatas because he intended some form of cutting. According to Abaya, misasik only applies when the person intended to do a completely different act, such as lifting instead of cutting. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the sim for Ayin Gimel is an ostrich egg. So here goes. The ostrich egg, that means we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. The ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings 2 additional disputes between Abai and Rub regarding misasik, preoccupation. If someone intended to throw an object 2 amos, but threw it 4 amos instead, Rava says he's exempt because he didn't intend to throw it 4 amos. Abai says he is liable because he intended a throwing of some sort. And the second case is if someone thought he was throwing in a Rishus Yachid, but finds out it was a Rishus Rabim, Rava says he is exempt because he didn't intend a prohibited throw. Abai says he's liable because he intended some throw. The Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach all 3 disputes between Abai and Rava. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4, while reciting the Lametes Melachos by heart. Which reminds us that the next mission in the parak enumerates the 39 melachos. 11 melachos relate to the preparation of food. 13 melachos relate to the processing of wool. 7 melachos relate to the preparation of leather. And 8 melachos relate to construction. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only 2 amos, not 4, while reciting the Lametes Melachos by heart. Losers had to dig a hole in their houses to get dirt to cover the eggs if they broke. Which reminds Rabbi Abba said that one who digs a hole in the floor of his house on Shabbos but requires only its earth is exempt even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Malacha Shein and Tzricha L'gufa Chayvaleh. One who performs a forbidden labor not needed for its divine purpose is nevertheless liable for it. Rabbi Yehuda only holds that when the person is Mesakin, he's rectifying something, not when he's Mekalkel, ruining something. And in this case, the person is ruining his house. Daf Ayin Dalet. So the Simra Ayin Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that means we're on Daf Ayin Dalet. The witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to understand a cryptic brisa that said as follows. If a person has different types of food before him, he may do borer and eat. He may do borer and leave it for others to eat. He may not do borer, and if he did do borer, he's liable to bring a chatas. After the first 4 pshatim are rejected, the 5th pshat from Abai is accepted. Abai explains the brisa to mean that one may do borer and eat immediately, or alter. And one may do borer and have others eat immediately. But he may not do borer to eat later on that day. And if he did do borer to eat later on, it's as if he did borer for storage and he's liable to bring a chatas. So the witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately for baking bread and cooking dyes, which reminds us, Rapapa asks why the Tan of the Mishnah chose not to list the cooking of herbs, which was done in the construction of the Mishkan for the preparation of dyes, and mentioned baking instead, which was not done in the construction of the Mishkan. The Gemara answers that the Tana chose Sidur de Pas, the malachas that are involved in the baking of bread. Rashi explains that the Tana began with malachas that are only applicable to bread, Choresh, Zoreya. Therefore, he continues discussing the malacha of baking, which is the equivalent of cooking herbs for dyes. So the witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately for baking bread and cooking dyes, got caught lying when he said he also saw her spin wool off the back of an animal. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that one who spins wool that is still on the back of an animal on Shabbos is liable to bring 3 chatas offerings. One for gozes, shearing, one for menapets, combing, and one for tovis, spinning. Rav Kahana said he's pater from bringing any chatas, since this is not the usual way to do these malachas. The Gemara explains that even though the woman involved in the building the Mishkan did these malachas while the wool was on the backs of the animals, they were only able to do so because they were blessed with extraordinary wisdom. Ordinary people cannot do these malachas this way, and therefore it is considered an unusual manner. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Zechus Barkins. Here goes number 1. Which daf to learn what one does if they forgot which day is Shabbos? Let's say they're lost in the desert. That's on Daf Samach Tes. Great number two. Which Daf of the Malchuk is whether if one intended to throw two amos, but he threw four amos in Rishus Rabim, whether that's Mesasek. That's on Daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number three. Which Daf do you learn that spinning wool off an animal's back requires extraordinary chachma? That's on Daf Ayin Dalet. Good. Number four. Which Daf do we have Malchuk is whether Mars Ayin applies afil b'chadri chadarim? That's on Daf Samach Dalet. Great. Number five. Which Daf do we have a Malchuk is whether psia b'kal disha squeezing is within the category of threshing? That's on Daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number six. Which Daf do we learn that according to one sheet lo sevaru eish is lolav yatsas? That's on Daf Ayin. Great. Number seven. Which Daf do we learn that borer when done la altar immediately is mutter? That's on Daf Ayin Dalet. Great. Number eight. Which Daf do we learn that chachma in the eyes of the nations is one's ability to calculate the seasons and the position of the constellations? That's on Daf Ayin Hey. Great. Number nine. Which Daf do we learn that a biris, a lead garter, is tahara? That's on Daf Samach Gimel. Good. And finally, number 10. Which Daf do we learn why the Tana chose to use Ofa in the Mishnah and not Bishul? That's on Daf Ayin Dalet. Excellent. Now we go to the three bonus questions from Brachas. Number one. Which Daf do we learn what defines an Amma Aretz? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number two. Which Daf do we learn why wine gets its own Bracha and Shem and oil does not? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Great. And finally, number three, which Daf do we learn how Rav Sheshes was able to tell when the king was passing because of silence? That's on Daf Nun Ches. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.